As we gather around to watch the Super Bowl this weekend, all eyes will be on the players and their on-field performances. For NFL players, glamour and glory are the norm. That is until the playing days come to an end, and that's where some of the serious problems can sometimes begin.
It's not just the long-term health effects associated with playing the game, which have been in the spotlight lately, but stories of financial disaster, debilitating mental health problems, drug addiction, even suicide seem to be all too common. Our next guest wanted answers to some pretty serious questions. Why do so many NFL players go on to live horror stories? And what, if anything, can be done to help players once they hang up the cleats and assist them with the transition into the next phase of their lives?
We're joined now by Jim Holstein, still trying to get a hold of George Kuntz Jr. James is a professor of sociology at Marquette University, and he's co-author of the book, Is There Life After Football? Surviving the NFL. Jim, welcome to you.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Veronica.
Well, when we talk about what it's like to be in the NFL, it's something that, you know, probably about 99.9% of us are never going to experience. And you write about it in terms of being in the bubble. What is it like inside the NFL bubble?
Well, we know something about being in the bubble. But for players in the NFL, remember, they're elite athletes who have been striving for this and been participating in elite athletics for 15 years before they got there. It starts when they're before high school, moving into high school, through college. Their lives revolve around the game, and they're kind of insulated from the rest of the world, treated special because of their special talents. And due to this, they sort of become encapsulated. So at the end of the day, at the end of the career, when the football days are over, they're sort of outside, and they haven't been outside this bubble in their adult lives. And that's kind of the root for many of the problems that they encounter.
Well, in terms of things like cultivating a family life, honing social skills, relationships, maintaining a job that you go to every day, are those skills that the players come out deficient in, or is it something that it's not too hard to play catch-up on?
I'm reluctant to use the word deficient because I don't want to speak about all players in that sense. But what we do find is that here are men who, if they've spent considerable time in the National Football League, they may be in their early 30s, but they haven't been out in the world fending for themselves any more than, say, most 18, 19, 20-year-olds have. And given that, yes, there are some skills that they haven't honed as well. If you asked any 18-year-old, how do you balance a checkbook? What do you do to get an apartment and set up your own living situation? Kids can probably turn to their parents, and they will for a few years, and that's what growing up is all about. Well, for guys in the NFL, part of the thing has been for the time that they're in the NFL, people have been helping with that too, and they haven't fully grasped the responsibility. The family things are difficult too. Many of the players are more likely to be married than their age peers in the general population. But their families also get a little isolated, and frankly, their families also help isolate them because families, wives especially, take over running their lives for them while they put everything in to the game. They're spending Packers up at Lambeau Field during the season. They're showing up at the practice facility before 7 o'clock, and they may not come home till after 6. That's not much of a life outside the bubble.
We've got George Kuntz Jr. with us on the line now. He is the Vice President of Advancement at Marion University. You may best remember him from his playing days as a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. George, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's bring you in on this, George. Can you share a little bit of your own story? What happened after you realized that your pro football days were over and the roller coaster that came afterwards?
Oh, most definitely. I know Dr. Holstein was just talking about the bubble, and I'm down in Phoenix. I'm over in Phoenix, Arizona right now for some of the Super Bowl activities, and I have about 10 people with me, and they have a special place for former football players to bring their families, to bring colleagues, to really work on the cultivation. And some of my colleagues were just saying, George, I read your book, and it is part of the bubble because it's an exclusive area, drinks, food, everything is Everything is free. It's in one of the most one of the nicest restaurants in Phoenix, and so a lot of players get kind of used to this type of living being catered to. So I was no different when I was playing in the National Football League. I kind of got on the conveyor belt when I was about 9 years old, and I was very fortunate to play until I was 32. But when I left out of the National Football League, or when the bubble burst, the little mundane things that a lot of people can handle at ease, I struggle with them.
What were some of those challenges that hit you hardest when you realized that your football days were over?
Well, just to assimilate into, you know, everyday life. I didn't really know how to manage my finances. I thought I did, but I had a lot of resources and a support system around me while I was in the National Football League. I had financial advisors, I had agents, and things like that. But when football left me, my support system kind of left as well. And I was kind of out there on an island. I was kind of isolated. And that's when the depression set in, and I struggled for about 2 years.
And what happened at the end of those 2 years? How did you rebuild your life and focus in on who you were going to become today?
Well, my wife, you know, we had a come to Jesus moment when I got into a car wreck, and she said, "George, you know, we can't reinvent who you are. We just have to redefine, because your purpose in life isn't to run around on the football field with a helmet on trying to hit someone. I think your purpose is really trying to give back, trying to make a community, trying to make your community a better place in which you found it." So I made it up in my mind at that time. You know, I have to go back to school. I have to get some education. I have to be educated, because I had a college degree, but I wasn't really necessarily educated. And I was able to, you know, go back to school and get going and try to make a difference in this world, try to make a difference in those communities in which I came from.
And Jim, you know, I think for everybody, making a transition from one phase of life to the next can be something that's troubling. It can be a rocky period of life. But it seems like in the NFL, some of those problems get amplified. Why do you think that is?
Oh, you're absolutely right that everyone goes through transitions, and the transitions are difficult. And I don't want to suggest, now we're not suggesting here that NFL players are victims of some terrible circumstance where they have riches thrust upon them and glory and fame, and then they have to go cold turkey. But there is a sense in which they're so tightly woven into this community, this locker room, the camaraderie of that. If you want to look at people who have similar sorts of transition problems, you might take a look at retiring police officers, firefighters, people coming out of the military. Because there you find a similar situation where they spend a good portion of their lives working together, socializing together, playing together, and their lives are structured around that one central activity. And when that comes to an end, that's just a little bit different than those of us who have more mundane jobs. When that ends, we're not going cold turkey in the same sense that people in those highly institutionalized jobs are. And the NFL, I don't want to suggest that there are too many parallels with, say, the police or the military, but many of the problems are the same ones you'd see.
Well, we're talking right now with George Kuntz and James Holstein. They're the authors of the new book, Is There Life After Football? Surviving the NFL. And you may remember George from his days with the Green Bay Packers. They wanted to get to the bottom of why the lives of NFL players can be difficult post-football and what needs to happen to smooth that transition.
We'll pick up the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. We're talking with sociologist James Holstein and former Green Bay Packer linebacker George Kuntz. They're authors of the new book, Is There Life After Football?, which explores why many former pro football players go wrong in retirement and what, if anything, can be done to change that.
And I want to talk a little bit about something that's been in the news a lot lately, especially this last year or two, and that's injuries, especially brain injuries for players, current and former players. George, now that there's more awareness of concussions and brain injuries than ever before, is this still a key problem that needs addressing to help these players go on to lead productive and healthy lives?
Oh, most definitely. I often read the history about the different injuries that we've sustained over the years. And I think back over the 90s when I played, when I first came to the National Football League, there was a lot of a few players that became paralyzed, like Dennis Byrd, who played for the New York Jets, and Mike Utley, who played for Detroit Lions. And then the NFL implemented some different rules and the way you can block. And we haven't really heard about players becoming paralyzed as of late. And then in the 2000s, you heard about a guy by the name of Corey Stringer and dehydration. So the NFL stepped in and made some things illegal for supplements that players can take. And now we're talking about concussions. And I think the NFL is going to step in and really change the way the game is played. It's going to look totally different, but I think it's going to be a game that's going to be still recognizable to all the football faithful around this great nation, because football is a great game, but we got to make sure we keep it safe for the players, and because we have about 8 million youth that are playing football around our great nation, and we just want to make sure that they're safe and they're able to play without any harm, long-term effects.
Do you think that the risk at this point is worth it, both for young people who might be starting the sport early like you did, teens and younger than that, and you know, the potential payoff, which is a big payoff, but do you think at this point it's worth it? Have we really cracked the code on how to keep players safe at this point, George?
Yes, I think so. I think that when I look back, you know, I started playing football when I was 9 years old. And if I had to do it all over again, I was very fortunate to play from 9 years old to 32. If I had to do it all over again, I would do it because I think the positives outweigh the negatives. And I think that there are some instances, such as one of my former teammates, a guy by the name of Jim McMahon, who's dealing with dementia right now. But I think there's not a lot of those stories. I think there's a lot of good stories out there, but we're not hearing about them.
And Jim, let's talk a little more about the financial aspect of this. There's an incredible statistic that you cite in your book. According to Sports Illustrated, over three-quarters of former NFL players are in desperate financial straits within 2 years of retirement. Now, football, we think of this as, you know, being a pretty high-paying job, maybe not quite as much as professional baseball players who don't have the salary cap, but how is it possible that someone could make millions of dollars and still be struggling with cash flow 2 years after the NFL?
Well, I'll get to that, but let me go to that statement about that. We do cite that statement from Sports Illustrated, but we make the point that there's absolutely no corroboration of that. That if you look high and low, you can't find where that figure, that number comes from. There are a lot of players. There are a lot of players that come out of the NFL and they get high-profile stories about them squandering their fortunes, and I don't want to deny that. But if you look systematically at the former players across the board, an awful lot of them are doing just fine. And so it's a myth there that guys come out of the league, squander fortunes, and then are flat broke when they're done. Now, having said that, your question was, how can they make so much money and still have financial troubles? Well, as you suggested, first of all, they don't make as much money as most of us think. Of all the major sports leagues, the NFL is the lowest paid. Well, we hear that the average salary is somewhere around $2 million a year this year. That's a figure that's inflated and brought way up by the high price of mostly quarterbacks, and that the median salary, the middle point in the salary range for NFL players, is somewhere closer to $700,000. Half the players in the league are making less than that. Again, that's good money, but it doesn't last that long. And so if the average career is 3.5 years, most guys are making better than the guys they went to school with, to college with, to high school with. But it doesn't last that long, and they're not set for life. And so when they come out of the league, when they are, as we put it in the book, too, when they are fired from their jobs, because most NFL players do not leave their careers voluntarily. They either leave due to injury or leave because their teams cut them. And when they leave the league, they're not sitting on a huge pile of cash. And so they have to pick up and get themselves going. Now, this is, I'm not making excuses for those of them who fail, but they do, as George just said. They have to pick themselves up and get started down another path. They can take advantage of the great things that have happened to them, but, you know, they still have to make something of themselves and can't rest on their laurels and on the paychecks that are no longer coming in.
And, George, about 30 seconds left to go, but quickly, what would you like to tell football players about how to succeed at life after the NFL?
Well, for one, I just think that they have to have other interests outside of football, because when I was playing football back in the 90s, I was working with my father in construction, and I had basically two careers going at the same time on two parallel tracks. It was hard, but I did it, and the current players that are in the National Football League, one thing about them, they're smart, they're disciplined. They know how to manage their time.
And we have to leave it there. George, thank you so much for that final word of advice there. Keep up your interest. George and James, thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking with George Kuntz and James Holstein. They're co-authors of Is There Life After Football? Surviving the NFL.